You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan pro wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and joining me to talk about what went down in January and a little bit of December is Dr. Jonathan Foy.
Thanks for having me on here again. Looking forward to talking about the trip that we got to have.
Yeah, so we were both in Japan recently. We got to see like a bunch of wrestling and like a bunch of other stuff, like touristy stuff. Do you want to tell us anything about your trip, maybe your favorite shows, how many shows you saw? Because I know you saw way more than I did. So take it away.
I'm trying to count that up because we had the three All Japan shows. I had the Noah show and two New Japan shows. So I had three All Japan. So three All Japan, three New Japan as well. So I had seven shows altogether. So We're talking earlier just off air and kind of going into that. And I said, oh, I didn't think I went to that many shows. This is maybe the second most I've been to. So I can't complain about number of shows. I got my son to a couple of them with me. And my wife and my son went with me to Wrestle Dynasty on the 5th. So we all got out to a few of these things. Before that, we went to Sapporo, which I just loved. We went there for Christmas, so we got to have a white Christmas, walking through the snow trying to find a place to eat on Christmas night while it's just kind of, I don't know if this is the term, but bucketing down with snow. I don't know how you describe it, but it was something we've never had to deal with before in Australia. We loved that there, and then the second week was the wrestling portion of the trip. And anyone that's been to Japan for this time of year knows that Tokyo is completely shut down after the 1st. There's nothing much else happening. And that's when the wrestling companies all come out, and Kurikan runs anywhere between 2 to 3 times a day. There'll be shows at Kurikan, which is insane. And that's the best time, I think, best time of the year to be there. And it doesn't matter what brand of wrestling you want to watch, if it's All Japan, Big Japan, the shows that were there, but from Great and from all the Joshi companies as well. I just loved all that. There's a few things I could focus on. I'll just leave you with one, which was the giant Barber Memorial pop-up, which comes to Tokyo, I think, every year or so. They have a pop-up shop that was 2 or 3 doors down from New Japan's store. And basically that one, it was in, I think, the 3rd or 4th floor of this office space. Very strange place to get to, but they had what was Barber's nephew, right? So he's the guy that is refereeing for All Japan right now. He organizes the Barber Memorial show and everything like that. He was working at the shop. He speaks very good English. And he was the one selling stuff. So I wanted to get my son a giant Barber action figure, and I wanted to get a book. Motoko Barber, giant Barber's widow, passed away in 2018 and did a bunch of exclusive interviews for a book that was meant to come out that year. It didn't come out because she passed away that year. And so they delayed it, and then COVID came along and that further delayed the book. Then someone actually lost the files, apparently. So this book was missing.
They
finally released it. Someone found the files and released the book last year. So it's been one I've been after for a little while, and they had that for sale. So I had to buy that. And so one of my holy grail finds. And plus, if you get more than 4,000 yen worth of merch there at that store, you can have a photo with a triple crown. So my son and I got that. We were holding up some of the original belts. Like, they're not the originals, obviously. These are replicas, and I think they're the same replicas that they wear on the show when they do wield out the Triple Crown, the original one for the anniversary shows and that kind of thing. So Yuma wore it last show. And yeah, so we got a photo with that. That was probably my favorite experience of the entire trip, if I'm honest, getting to kind of go and do all that. But again, I could bore people with all the touristy details about what else we got to do. If you haven't already worked it out, go to Japan.
Yeah.
No matter what you're into, it's incredible and it's there.
Yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, I think the start of the year is like the best time to go because everybody is running shows. They want people who are going to Wrestle Kingdom to go to their shows. And I did see a lot of people saying like it's my first time at All Japan or it's my first time at DDT or BJW or just whatever. It's their first time anywhere but New Japan. It's just really fun. And I thought you saw way more shows than that for some reason. I saw four. So I was just three behind you. I saw three All Japan and one TJPW. But it's just fun. It's a lot of fun. I had so much fun on my trip. I kind of wish I saw one more show. I'll get into that. But yeah, if you get a chance, go to Japan. That's all I'm going to say. So, before we get started on All Japan for 2025, we have to rewind a bit to December 31st and the big show at Yoyogi. And this is actually the place we met for the first time when I was in line to buy Yuma merch. So.
Yeah, it's completely random being in the same place as people that you've been speaking to online for all that time. And as far as the arenas go too, that was your second time there. That was my first. And they can't really convey to you on screen, obviously, just how hot that building
Oh my
is.
God,
Like
yes.
the heat was up for that one.
Yeah. Oh, when I was standing in line for a Yuma meet and greet, I was right under the heater and I was wearing like this big jumper because it's so cold outside. It was the worst. It's just so hot in there.
And that also that arena, it really threw me. So people would have seen the pictures of this place, and people obviously seen what it's like inside. Maybe a bit of video vision about what it looks like outside Yoyogi Second National Gymnasium, but it's right behind Yoyogi First National Gymnasium, which is like that but much bigger. So when I was walking in, there was a I don't know what it was. There was a concert happening there the same day, and so I was really thrown because there are all these people lining up, and I'm like, I didn't know All Japan's this popular until I saw, nope, we're in the second building, we're down here. It's the same exact layout, but just smaller.
It was the same thing when we went to Yoyogi both times. So I guess last year and the year before, they must have like a New Year's Eve thing in the first gymnasium because there are so many people there and there's so many merch stands and it's insane. So the card for the 31st, we're going to go Fumino Abe, Sega Tachibana, and Yukumi Emoto defeating Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, and Taishin Nagao in 12 minutes and 29 seconds. In a battle royal, Suwama defeated Ozawa number one, Hartley Jackson, Hideki Suzuki, Hikaru Sato, Kuma Arashi, Kuma Goro Hakai, Kurishiro Tokyo Japan, Minoru Suzuki, Shoto Shino, and Ultimo Dragon in 24 minutes and 2 seconds. Daisuke Sakamoto defeated Dan Tamura in 15 minutes and 30 seconds. Rei Sato, Naruki Doi, and Seiyu Sato defeated Hokuto Mori, Jack Kennedy, and Cyrus in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. Ren Yabe and Riki Honda defeated Yuma Oyagi and Asuki Oyagi in 20 minutes and 42 seconds. And this was Asuki's return match. In the All Asia Tag Team title match, Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato defeated Kento Miyahara and Ryu Inoue in 21 minutes and 57 seconds. And in the main event, Triple Crown title match, Jun Sato defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 21 minutes and 47 seconds. So I'm just going to get the bad out of the way first. Just a reminder for the people, I have only been watching All Japan since 2019. And since then, I've probably seen maybe 95% of Triple Crown matches they've put on. This was the worst I've ever seen. I'm just going to come out and say it. Look, sometimes big matches take a while to get started. They go to feeling out stage and they slowly build up from there. But this never got past the first stage, maybe never even made it to the first stage. It was at times I was having more fun watching Ray on commentary than I was this match. Davey Boy was so dominant, and like June tried to build up some offense for himself. He got knocked down very quickly, or every thing he threw at David Bowie was reversed. It was very strange. And maybe I didn't watch it back, but maybe there was a little bit of sandbagging. And I thought, I don't know. You can tell me what you think. I don't know. When June got the win, I said out loud, holy shit. Like, one, because I didn't expect him to win. And two, because, like, that was it. Like, really? That's it? I think a lot of the fans in the arena were shocked as well, because there wasn't like a massive cheer when he won. There was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, yeah, let's go, June.
If the phrase "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
was a match, this would be it, right?
And like, I wanted this to be good because I don't know. I thought Dave Boy would lose to Kento. A lot of people thought he would. But I wanted June to have a good showing thing because I love June and because he's becoming such a good singles competitor. And this was not it. And this is his crowning moment. And he didn't get a moment after the match, which really pissed me off because I love when wrestlers get their moment. Like, Davey Boy rolled out of the ring and he was there. And June was saying, like, oh, Davey Boy, thanks. Like, what they always say, wrestlers, like, thank you to their opponent. Then the opponent leaves. Davey Boy didn't leave. He stayed there. He got back in the ring and started talking. I'm just like, the only person who should be in the ring with June is Ray. That's it. They should be drinking beer, eating sweets, and that didn't happen. I was like, Davey Boy, shut up. Give June his moment. It pisses me off because, like, I'm still angry that Yuma never got his moment against Kento, and now June never got his moment when he won the Triple Crown.
So after that, they had the whole, not the whole roster, but a lot of the roster come and walk out to the arena and walk out to the ring and kind of throw stuff into the crowd and wish everyone a happy new year and all of that. And it seems like what happened was Davey Boy wanted to stick around for that and completely telegraph the whole people are coming out to the ring thing when he could have just gotten out of there. And the kind of back and forth between him and June, it had like zero chemistry to it, much like their match, right? Like that whole thing was redundant. And I mean, it wasn't the worst Triple Crown match I've seen. That would be when Suwama beat Jake Lee in 2022. It was a couple of weeks before the anniversary show. That was the worst Triple
Oh,
Crown
I
match.
forgot about that. Why did you remind me about that match?
That's why you couldn't remember it, because it had been blocked out of your brain because of the trauma. And even that one, it was largely because of the cheating. It was largely because of the result. And I mean, as much as all of that, sucked, you can say at least we got to see Suwama drop the belt to Kento in the Budokan. Much the same way, this match was not good, but at least we got to see them crown June, even if they didn't have the moment land like it should have. I think the match just wasn't as good as it should have been for June's crowning moment. And maybe you could have done that differently had you had someone else. Like if we this was Kento versus Davey Boy and Kento was the one to win, they would have had a better match with each other. They've had good matches with one another before. Obviously, you then have the issue of is Kento going to be the person to transition the belt to someone else? That's an odd position for Kento to be in. But I mean, if you had Kento against June, those guys have great chemistry, have great matches. And
Definitely.
if June won, that would be a shock. That would be a moment of, wait, he beat Kento, what the hell? So I know, I would have personally would have rather they go on about this differently. We got what we got in the end. Like I said, it's not the worst Triple Crown match, but only because there's been worse, which is not exactly what you want to hear.
I don't know. I just wish it was better for June.
Yeah.
But they did announce after the match that June is doing a signing and people ran to get in line. And the merch line, there was no line anymore actually for the merch. People were just pushing in trying to get the Saito's merch because they sell out. I was like, yeah, I'm not even going to try. Like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm going back home. I'm out of here.
And you'll encounter this anytime you go to Japan, doesn't matter what the arena is. Like, if you don't like crowds, if you don't like crowding, probably don't stick around for those signings and stuff. People, like, yeah, people will crush and it's kind of insane. Yeah, I don't like being in like packed crowds as well for that kind of thing. So I got out of there long before that as well. Plus my mobile phone was dying, which was a stupid distraction the entire night, but yeah, I think get a new phone before you head there as well.
Yeah, like I did go to some signings and they were okay. Like I went to an Anzai one and that line was long because I wanted to do Haito as well. And the guy's like, yeah, no, Haito's line is finished. Like the show's starting in 10 minutes. There's no way. Yeah, but like the June line, holy moly. Like, because I was staying in Odo City, which is like halfway between Tokyo and Yokohama, basically. So like I got back there and I was looking at the photo. I'm like, if I stayed, I would still be in line for
Yeah,
June. This is insane.
it just shows you how well they've done at marketing these guys as well at this point in their career when they're all still very, very young.
Yeah, and I will mention the match Saito Brothers versus Hokuto Ami. Hokuto Ami won that match, but it says the Saito Brothers won because the crowd cheered louder for them and crowned them the winner. It is
Yeah.
so weird.
There was a stipulation there. It was a special type of New Year match. And the idea was the first fall is like the actual fall, and the second fall is like where the crowd will go for like cheer for whoever they thought the rightful winners were. And again, I only picked up bits and pieces of that through my very broken Japanese. And so I'm like, okay, all right, I think I know what happened here. I just gave us another wonderful moment of them robbing Hokuto. So I think that was the intention there, right? Is kind of give Hokuto some horror.
Yeah, it was like whoever lost had to dress in like, I don't know if it was like exactly like maid outfit or just like, female clothes. But yeah, Hokuto and Kumarashi, not Cyrus, because he was, I think he was like back in America this time, did a stream and they were dressed up and Hokuto seemed to be having fun.
He eventually got into it after a while of seeming embarrassed, and
Yeah.
whereas Kuma seemed pretty comfortable the entire time.
Yeah. Okay, but onto the good now. And it's Ryu fucking Inoue. Oh my God, this boy in a match with the super loved Anzai and Haito and the fucking ace of the company, Kento. This guy was the most over. He was being cheered for louder than anybody on the whole show. The whole card, he was number one. I was like all in on Inoue, but to hear the crowd was as well was, oh, I loved it so much. It reminded me of last year when Dan versus Al Lindemann and the whole crowd was behind Dan and the vibes there was the same vibes in this All Asia title match. It was just so good. And I don't know, I just wish, kind of wish they called it audible and be like, okay, just give Kento and Inoue the belt. It's like
Yeah.
the crowd, they're not going to lose it because of Anzai and Hayato. If they get the win, fine. But that was Inoue's moment and they missed it.
I think that like sometimes you need to have a match where the person loses. They're big on this in Japanese wrestling, where the person will lose, but this will be the match that elevates them in defeat. And I think this was Inoue's. I'm hoping he gets his signature win this year, though. He needs one. And I was hoping it would be then as well, but I couldn't fault it. It was still I've seen a lot of reviews for this match and stuff, and I feel like every single one of them is underrating it just because of how insanely over the guy was, and just the crowd heat was incredible. I say this all the time, but when you kind of go to the arena, it's a lot louder there in person than it ever across on TV for some reason.
It was so loud in that arena for Inoue. Like everybody was cheering for him. I was just like, Anzai, just tap out. Just stay there for three. Just stop it. Stop it. Stop kicking out.
Anzai's selling was incredible in that match as well. Like in terms of him making it seem like Inoue was a threat, and there's a great moment where he looks like he's going to tap, and he instead punches the mat.
Inoue was so focused on just killing Anzai leading up to this match. It's what we needed. It's the hate we needed that All Japan hasn't had for a while. And I think that's what just made it so much better. If you haven't seen this match, go watch this match. It is probably the best show of the match and the best tag match of 2024. Hands down. I know I said Musashi and Sekimoto and Kengo in my end of year awards, but that was before this match happened. So this match replaces it.
I hate that this show, in some ways, I hate that this show takes place on the 31st because then it's like, do your awards count and do your predictions count? Because I said one of the Saito brothers was going to win the Triple Crown. It happened the damn last day of the week. So, like, it's too late for some people's end of year awards, and or too early for others. So I kind of, it falls in that odd space between. So I tend to go with the rule, as anyone knows that listened to this last time, the 31st counts for the next year.
Yeah.
Because it's that damn close. Like, surely you have to include it then. But anyway, that's just because I'm bitter that my prediction was technically wrong.
Well, it's right. Let's just say it's right. It's my podcast. I can say that.
Sure. Yeah.
Just on the card, I thought it was pretty fun. Like, Sekimoto versus Dan was always going to be good. Like, what was that billed as? Like, a pure wrestling match or, like, just something like that. And that was great. Like, what do you expect from these two guys? I think, like, the lawn dart Sekimoto did to Dan. Jesus. Like, oh, yeah, that made me wince.
A few moments like that in this match where I went, oh, is Dan okay?
Yeah.
But my sole thing, again, Dan, much like Inoue, he needs a fucking win. He needs to get that one. And he technically has had a big win in his career. You know, he did win the junior heavyweight title from, it's so strange that I'm like, I can't remember El Lindemann's name, but yeah, that says it all as far as the kind of booking of all that. Yeah, he had that, but little else. And he's someone else I think they really need to take better care of and hopefully give him something this year.
One more thing I want to say about this show is a lot of people come to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. You know, it's the biggest show on Japanese calendar. It makes sense. But there's so much more wrestling going on and people are going to these shows. People are going to All Japan. So if you come to this and thinking, you know, what's going to go on is like, you know, All Japan you've seen from the 90s, you've seen on YouTube. Like, no, I'm sorry. This is like modern day All Japan. It's a bit of comedy mixed with good wrestling. You know, you have your title matches, Triple Crown will always be there and some kind of tag belt. But like a junior tag to start the show, that's normal. But why is there a battle royal? Just because, why not? Why is there a bear, Minoru Suzuki, and Ultimate Dragon in the match? Why not? Why did the Hokuto Ame get the pin but lose the match in the end? Why not? The only thing this show was missing was an old man tag with Fuchi. And then it would be like a modern day All Japan big show. You know, I know people have been annoyed with the comedy All Japan has injected into their shows lately. And I get it, but I'm not one to hate it. So if you're coming to an All Japan show, please don't expect their old style. There will be comedy, but there will also be great wrestling. The roster is still so young and things are changing, but for the better. Come with open mind and just let the wrestlers in the ring show you how fun All Japan can be, because it is fun.
We will get to it, but there was one match in particular that reminded me a lot, as in a lot of the old All Japan style. And so there was something for you if you wanted.
Yeah.
That, but you did have to, you're right, you have to sit through plenty of comedy stuff, through plenty of stuff that maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense, but why ask why at this point, you know?
Yeah, like I think when they announced the Battle Royale, I was like, okay, yeah, sure, but fans, you know, who don't watch All Japan but are going to the show will be like, why? I'm like, well, that's what I said, like, why not? This is just a big show. They got their big matches and then they have a bit of comedy and then they have just good wrestling, like this random Dan Sekimoto match just in the middle of the card, you know, squeezing between comedy matches. It's just how All Japan is. And it may not be for you, but like I said, just please go in with an open mind because you might end up loving it. Moving on to day two on the 2nd of January. So it's a new year. We start out with the wrestlers coming to the ring in their new red All Japan tracksuits. The president got on the mic, welcoming the fans for coming. And thank God there was no booing this year because that would have been terrible. Kento was up next and announced he made a mistake in not appointing a vice president player chairman to help out. Musashi was announced as a vice president. And as soon as he got on the mic, because it's Musashi, Hideki Suzuki's music, he came out. And he said, I am Hideki Suzuki of All Japan Pro Wrestling. So he has officially signed. He is the signee for this year. What do you think?
That was fucking incredible. Like, that was everything I wanted as far as our signees went. I know a lot of people had hoped for Sega Tachibana, right? And I think people had hoped, as well as I had, for Kuma Arashi. Mm. But I think in Sego's case, he's going to be involved with the new
Oh, yeah.
Uptown promotion, which Kuroshio Tokyo Japan Jiro is starting. And it's, if that's the case, then it's sort of like I can understand it's hard for him to be involved in signing and committing to one place if he's going to be heavily involved in another. We still get to have the guy on shows and to book him for things. So I don't mind that. But as far as Hideki goes, his whole ethos for a long time was I'm not going to sign anywhere. He had an experience of signing and then not wrestling for WWE. He was a trainer and a kind of person that would stand in the ring for the Diamond Mine faction. And so someone that they didn't utilize in the ring the whole time he'd been signed there. So a lot of his thing was, I'm not going to be in that position ever again. I'm going to be an independent, going to be very independently minded as being a freelancer. So for him to sign this contract is huge. I didn't see that coming, but his rationale was he'd had a good time wrestling for All Japan, that he enjoyed his time there. So this is a huge get. This was what I'd hoped for it to be. And of course, when his music played, I turned to my son. I said, "This is actually a very huge moment that we're seeing here. This is important."
When his music hit, I was like, whose music is this? And then I was like, oh shit, it's Hideki.
Yes. I understood it, but I didn't at first. I'm like, that's Hideki's music. Does that mean, oh, he must be signing.
I'm very 50-50 with Hideki. If you listen to this show, you know, because sometimes he comes to wrestle and wrestles, and sometimes he comes to wrestles and just fucks around in the ring, and it annoys the hell out of me. But I think this, episode, the matches we talk about with him in it, he wrestles. So it's a good Musashi as the vice president, I really like. Like, he's very new to All Japan, but he must be very well respected to get the vice president this early. And I'm happy for him. I actually really do like Musashi.
This players association is interesting. It's important because that's where, if they have any grievances or any issues that the talent want to raise and they need to get that information to the president, that's how you do it. And so you need to have two people there that are well respected, that can be that conduit. It's not an easy job. So the fact that, yeah, like you said, he got this job so quickly, just speaks volumes on how well respected he is.
We'll get to the card now. So Suama defeated Tashi Nagao in 4 minutes and 54 seconds. Musashi, Sego Tachibana, and Seki Yoshioka defeated Shota Ishino, Asuka Yagagi, and Rii Inoue in 10 minutes and 39 seconds. Kenta Miihara and Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Hartley Jackson and Jack Kennedy in 9 minutes and 44 seconds. In the six-man tag team title match, Yuma Aoyagi, Hikaru Sato, and Fumanori Abe defeated Hokuto Omori, Cyrus, and Kuma Arashi in 13 minutes and 40 seconds to become the new champions. We had a Goro TV title match. Yuki Miyamoto defeated Dan Tamura in 12 minutes and 56 seconds. Yuma Anzai, Rising Hayato, Ren Ayabe, and Riki Honda defeated Jun Sato, Rei Sato, Naruki Doi, and Senyu Sato in 17 minutes and 44 seconds. And in the New Year's Battle Royale, Asuka Yagi defeated everybody, including the referee, to win the match. Where do you want to start?
Oh, it's hard to know. Like, there's so much stuff. I think hearing it back, it's like there's so much stuff you almost forget about, or you go in and you become so spoiled by attending all these shows during that time and so much stuff happening that you almost forget some of these. So I like the Garo TV title match a lot. I thought that was really good. I thought I really wanted Dan to win again with that theme. And it was a shame that he had actually lost the match on the 31st if he was going to go and contend for a title, I thought. But then I guess that his opponent was in the same situation, as far as contending the next day. So yeah, look, that was a great match. I also really liked the six-man tag match. Like, as far as the titles went, I thought that was really, really fun. Not the best night as far as these went, but it had some great stuff that I'd honestly forgotten about as far as this card went.
I thought the title matches were pretty good. Yuki Miyamoto's a pretty good hand to have in the mid card for All Japan. He's a good wrestler. He's been a champion in the company before, holding the All Asia tag belts. So, why not? I wish Dan won, but like he lost a couple of nights ago. So, winning the title after losing a big match, it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I think people kind of knew Cyrus was leaving, so they might drop the tag belts. It was a fun match. It's what do you expect from these six, really? I think the news battle royale is really fun. I do love it. It's just stupidness. Like, don't come in thinking it's a really serious battle royale. They came out to the Star Wars disco music, which I still love. They have to keep that. They can't get rid of it. You had like Taishin get his revenge on Suama by eliminating him. Honda betraying Alpida by eliminating Anzai and Hayato. Ayabi flew out of the ring when he was eliminated. That was kind of scary. And for some reason, Hideki kept doing like the Sato brothers taunts, like June's fingers to the head and Ray's claw thing. The referee, Kanbayashi, even got eliminated. And that was like hilarious. Like they even announced, like, you know, Kanbayashi's been eliminated.
I
Asuki
utterly love
won,
that.
but he kicked Honda in the butt, really, just to eliminate him off the apron. It's what you expect from this battle royale. This is what I mean by All Japan. Like, come with an open mind, because you might expect this to be serious. Like, no, this is the news battle royale. This is how it is. You want to say anything else about day two?
Not the strongest of the cards that we got to see, but only when you compare them. Like really, really good stuff. I actually need to go back and rewatch some of this. Like the title matches delivered. I think if you are looking for a decent kind of experience when you're going to Japan for the live shows, these kind of cards play so much better in person than they do when you're watching them when they're
Yeah.
streaming.
But moving on to day three on the third, so the day after, we had Asuka Yagi, Dan Tamura, Musashi, Rising Hayato, and Tashina Gao defeated Kairo Sato, Naruki Doi, Sego Tachibana, Seki Yoshioka, and Yukio Miyamoto in 15 minutes and 19 seconds. Rene Abe and Ryuki Honda defeated Hartley Jackson and Jack Kennedy in 11 minutes and 15 seconds. Yuma Oyagi defeated Fumanori Abe in 13 minutes and 21 seconds. Kenta Miyahara, Dave Boy Smith Jr., and Rii Inoue defeated Hokuto Omori, Cyrus, and Kuma Arashi in 11 minutes and 59 seconds. Yuma Anzai defeated Shota Ishino in 15 minutes and 9 seconds. And in the main event, World Tag Team title match, Jun and Rei Saito defeated Daisuke Sekimoto and Hideki Suzuki in 18 minutes and 58 seconds. And this show is my favorite show that I saw on the trip. I love this show. The Anzai versus Ishino match. Oh my God, that fucking rocked so much. Ishino seemed like his intent was just to destroy Anzai. This was an angry Ishino, and I loved it. Like, mean senior versus, you know, rookie, basically what it was. I wanted him to win so bad. I needed him to win. I don't remember if it was advertised as a number one contenders match, but people took it as a number one contestant match. Was it advertised as that? Do you remember?
So, what it reminded me of, though, is in Survivor Series 1996, there was this match between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart, which was a number one contenders match, but had only been kind of sort of advertised as that. So it's like it was reminded me of a lot of that, like because I as watching it, I told my friend beforehand. I also got to meet Dave D. Leon on this tour is someone that I've been speaking to online forever, and talking to him in person, we kind of mentioned that, yeah, is that a number one contenders match? I think this is a de facto number one contenders match. Like the person will probably walk out to challenge. And so they didn't advertise it at all as being that, but I took it as that. Oh, geez. I'll allow you to talk more about this match. I have so much to say about it, but I want to allow you the chance to.
No, just with being a number one contenders match, like, I want to keep Anzai away from the Triple Crown, but I don't want Ishino to lose another Triple Crown match. That's my problem with this. Anzai got busted open, and it was cool at first. Like, sometimes blood adds to a match, and I think it added to this match, but he was knocked out. He didn't know where he was when Ishino got the ankle lock on him and he was not moving. That was scary. That was so scary. And from where I was sitting, okay, just so people know, I was sitting like behind the ring announcer, so I had his head in the way. But you could hear Wada asking, like, okay. And Anzai shaking his head, like, no. I was like, they gotta call this match. Like, this cannot happen. But they continued on. They rushed the ending. Anzai won. he was probably supposed to win, but the ending wasn't supposed to happen like that because it was so rushed. I was like, it's okay. He got a bunch of staples in his head. He luckily has bangs, so he could hide it. But if you saw the picture of it, it looks bad. It looks really bad. He seems all better now. But talk about this match. I know you love it.
Oh, just, so if you like the old style of All Japan from the kind of King's Road era of the late or the mid to late 90s, this is the match for you. The stiff shots that we saw dealt out on this one. And so what it was I think Ashino's elbow. He elbowed Anzai in the head, and that was what caused that blood to come out. Because you could see on Ashino's elbow pad, the white elbow pad that he has, you saw a bit of red blood on that. So
Oh, I
I
didn't
know I
notice
call it red
that.
blood as opposed to any other color, but he turned the elbow pad red, was what I'm trying to say with his blood. And in all of that, like some stuff went wrong clearly. Like Anzai drops Ashino when he hits the gimlet, and he never does that, right? It's always he holds the guy all the way down. He fucking dropped him as he did that. But this was amazing. I would have loved to have seen Ashino win because in some ways it would make some more sense to have him kind of go on to lose but still be featured in a Triple Crown match at this point. I wasn't wanting to see Anzai losing that match at that point, but it's just this was one of my this was maybe my favorite match of this is definitely my favorite All Japan match of this tour. That was definitely one I encourage people to go and check out. Just loved it. You even had at one moment outside the ring, Ashino did, you know, the big swing that he did to Anza. I was like, what the hell is that? Like, that's amazing, right? Yeah, this one had everything. So I know there's a lot of discourse about whether or not there's too much comedy in All Japan Pro Wrestling. If at any point you think that there's too much comedy, watch this match. It is completely dead set serious and to a point of being concerning at some point. So yeah, I recommend that one that people check it out. It's one of my favorite matches all year.
One of my favorite spots in this match is just Ishino just wiping Anzai's blood on his chest. I was like, holy shit, this is cool.
This is the Ishino we need. I mean,
Yes.
because he put so much into his performance that it's like we're not talking about, oh, Ishino lost. I mean, we're a little bit discussing the fact that we're disappointed by that, but you didn't think he looked like the loser in the end. He kind of thought he did so much in the match that you leave with an appreciation of that rather than purely being bummed about the fact that he lost.
I hope the thing they take from this match is they need to run it back in the carnival and they're in the same block.
Agreed.
Okay, so the match I thought you were going to say is like old, like 90s old Japan is a tag match, the main
Yeah,
event,
that had its
because that
moments
was
too.
stiff.
Yes. That was so good. And that's the thing about this card too. There are so many incredible things on it like that. Yeah, that was the Ashino Anzai match, the semi-main event, like the second from the top. Okay, so that was great too.
Special shout out to Lewis, who's been on this podcast before. He messaged me, freaking me out, like saying Hideki Suzuki is wearing purple. That means he's gonna win. That's his winning color. I was like, oh no. Like my sister's next to me, she's new to All Japan. She loves Jun Saito. Like she has his supporters tell. I'm like, I can't let her leave disappointed.
Yeah.
He didn't win. I thought he might, and he just signed. Sekimoto seems to be sticking around. He just did tag league. They didn't. But this match rocked. It looked like at times there were legit punches being thrown around. Hideki put in so much effort. He was maybe the star of this. And that's probably the only time you're going to hear me say Hideki's the star of his tag match. So record it, play it back, because it's not going to happen again, really.
If you won't say it, I'll say it. Hideki's a star.
Yeah.
That's
But this.
I utterly love that guy so much.
One thing I want to say that was better for the home crowd than the live crowd was Kento was on commentary. And the thing is, where I was sitting, there's like a balcony right above me, and I can hear people shouting up there. And the guy next to me was like looking up there from time to time. And like the girls next to my sister were looking up there, and then it clicked. Kento's on comms. Like that's who's shouting. So if you haven't seen Kento on commentary, or listened, I should say, go watch his match. Go watch Asuki versus Hayato when they wrestled for the junior belt in Corrigan Hall. No, it's the best. Kento on commentary, just he adds something to the match and it like moves up a level just with him on commentary.
I've seen him on comms before, heard him on comms before, a few times, where I was like, I had to be reminded that's actually Kento, because he fits in so perfectly that you kind of think that that's just a regular commentator by how well he does. He's one of these annoying people that just seems to be good at everything. And yeah, like so charismatic, so good at wrestler, so good on commentary. Oh, just this match. Like there was one point where, particularly between Rei Saito and Hideki, where they're brawling outside the ring and they're punching each other and then they're slaps. And then Hideki gets the better of Rei, and a guy I met that day goes, oh yeah, that was definitely like Hideki was shooting on Rei, because you know there were receipts and stuff. And I was just like, no, that's not true, you mark, it's not the case. Like it wasn't him shooting on it. He's a professional. It's just they it was very tight pro wrestling. It was them kind of exchanging what looked like very convincing blows, because these guys are fucking good at this. But it was so stiff and it was so convincing that through people, which is great. But I don't think that was like this is out of control. But I do love it when we have those moments that are that little bit scary, that little bit believable, that make us think something is actually happening there beyond what has been laid out. So yeah, again, great match. I kind of remember the one just before it a little bit more than this one, but this one was still fucking incredible.
My headcanon is like they watched Ishino versus Anzai. They're like, how are we gonna top that? Oh yeah, real punches. Let's just punch each other for real.
And again, that could have very well happened. You know, they are trying to top the match that happened previously, and they are going to need to pull out whatever they can. And in this case, they just pull out their fists and punch each other. I love it.
Powerbomb Ray hit on Hideki was kind of scary because where I was sitting, it looked like he got really, really close to the ropes. I was like, holy shit, like Hideki's gonna hit his head. And what's it called? Like barbecue?
The barbecue bomb.
Yeah. It got
Like you're watching and you see Ray yell out barbecue or delivering the power bomb, and it's like, this again, let's not ask why at this point.
Like I said, why not? After the match, I wanted Yuma to come and challenge for the belts, but Yuma Aoyagi, I'm saying, because I'm in my stupid Naoya Inoue's back, so he's coming back to All Japan. So I wanted Nomoyagi to come back and challenge. We got the other Yuma. Yuma Anzai came out. He challenged June. June's like, yes. Rei actually challenged June, and June's like, no. You have to get some more single wins. Which makes me think he is going to have a very good champion carnival or even win the champion carnival.
Oh, quite possibly. I mean, at this point, the Saitos is that's clearly the act. The Saito Brothers is clearly the act that All Japan have identified as this is where we're going to want to put our money. This is what we're going to invest the time in, because it's getting results. And yeah, I think also it was interesting how we didn't get that moment of Ray entering the ring and sort of celebrating with, you know, the new champion kind of thing. Like, he didn't celebrate with his brother. And so I almost thought that that was like speaking volumes of some jealousy there. So, you know, I think that there's probably a deep-seated storyline there between the two as far as jealousy goes and things that you can tap into. And I'm looking forward to that. I think, but yeah, it absolutely would make sense if you're just going to have Ray win the Champion Carnival and again continue just to push this as far as it will go. I've no problem with that. I would have liked to have seen Hideki and I'm trying to remember his tag partner's name,
Sakimoto.
Sakamoto, win. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Hideki and Sakamoto win that match. But again, whoever wins is going to be the 100th champions, I believe. So they need something huge for that. So maybe that doesn't fit.
Yuma
And
Aoyagi, now Inamura. That's my end goal. That's it. I will accept nobody else as the 100th
perhaps if
champions.
Aoyagis lose this upcoming title match that we'll get to, and then Yuma just says, well, I'll come back with a different challenger with me.
We'll be talking about him a lot. So just let's just say, quick shout out to Yuma Aoyagi versus Fumanori Abe. Like I forgot to write down anything for
Of
this
course,
match,
yep.
but it was great. Like Very fun and very, very good wrestling. I will say go out of your way to see this one as well.
Yeah, again, there are so many great ones that we forget a few of them. And this one, just perfect meld of the comedy, the hard hitting, the fast.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, stuff, and both their styles, they complement each other really well.
And it's funny because they literally won the tag belts the day before. And then the day after, they're wrestling each other.
Yep. I don't know. I think if it makes sense, like if you're teaming with Yuma Aoyagi, you want to punch him in the face sometime, you know? And so they're allowing that to happen.
So on day four, this show was a special one. It was the Fan Appreciation Day. They used to do these shows in December, but they haven't done one for a couple of years, if I remember correctly. Overall, these shows are just a bunch of fun, nothing too serious, just a special day for the fans. I wanted a ticket so bad, but they sold out. I'm so bummed I missed out. Honda was giving out light sticks, Amore and Azawa number one giving out drinks, and Kento and Musashi had business cards and were handing them out to everybody. Just like, I missed out on all of this. Like, that sucks,
man. Oh, I missed out on a business card from Kento. That's
yeah.
Amazing.
Putting in my wallet forever. I don't got one, unfortunately.
I'd call one and speak to his people. I don't know about what, but just because they could.
Just breathe down the phone like Kento.
Didn't mean to take it in that direction, but you know, I don't hate it now.
No, because I would have no idea what to say. Like, give Inoue a belt.
Yeah, I think so, right? I think that's Kento clearly, even if he's not on the booking committee, has the kind of sway where he can make that happen.
But for the matches, we had Dan Tamura, Shota Ishino, and Rei Inoue defeated Hideki Suzuki, Kairi Sato, and Yuko Miyamoto in 9 minutes and 55 seconds. Yuma Anzai and Ren Iyabe defeated Rizin Hayato and Ryuki Honda in 13 minutes and 3 seconds. Musashi, Sega Tachibana, and Seki Yoshioka defeated Azawa number 1, Hokuto Mora, and Naruki Doi in 12 minutes and 43 seconds. Jun Saito and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Rei Saito and Asuki Aoyagi in 14 minutes and 50 seconds. And in the main event, Kento Miihara defeated Tashin Nagao in 16 minutes and 3 seconds. Where do you want to start?
Probably my favorite match had to be with the Saito brothers teaming on opposite sides against each other and the moments that you have where the brothers go to tag one another in and then realize they can't do that.
Yeah.
And that happened twice. And that was hilarious. And that was beautiful. And just as far as like comedy goes and as far as this match went, enough comedy, enough physical stuff, enough kind of moments. And then what we got at the very end of this, just justifying all of this, was really, really good. I loved this match.
It was so much fun. When they showed this card at Korakuen, I was like, holy shit, like, when's this match happening? Show I didn't get tickets to. But it was so much fun. Like, I wouldn't expect them to do it, but I'm glad they did it. Younger brothers versus older brothers. Older brothers had to win. The youngest brother can't win. Younger siblings, no. Like you said, when they try to tag in their brothers, but they're like, holy shit, like, they're not my partner anymore. I thought that Alpida versus Alpida, like when they mixed up their tag partners, was really good as well. It's just really fun tags, really fun show. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention Asuki and Yuma are challenging for the tag belts, like we said before.
Yep.
It's a challenge I wanted from Yuma, but the wrong partner.
Again, it could just be to set up the match that you want. Maybe after Asuki gets pinned and Yuma can say, well, you know, he got pinned, I didn't.
They might surprise us. Who knows? If it was any other show than this one, I would think Kento versus Taishin match would have been out of place at the main event. But because it was a Fan Appreciation Day show, it makes sense. And they have done it before in 2019 when they had Asuki, Hokuto, and Dan still in their rookie phase, face Kento, Masanobu Fuchi, and Jun Akiyama in the main event. So it's a thing they've done before. If you think it's out of place, it's not. But it was a really good match for Taishin and such a fantastic opportunity for him. Like, he gets the main and faces Kento in like, what, three, 4 months into his career. It's crazy.
It would seem out of place any year other than this when I don't know what they're feeding them in the dojo, but somehow they have these wrestlers that they're kind of artificially growing in the lab that are incredible workers from the get-go or from a few months in. Like, it's something that very few companies seem able to do, but they're doing incredibly well at, is getting these guys experienced and adept to the style so quickly. And yeah, I would not have thought, you know, Taichin would be in that position where he could do it. But watching this match, you believe that he can. And Kento is amazing, obviously, at anything he does as far as working with anyone.
And like, the thing is, I love Kento. He's a great wrestler. He deserves everything he has. But I love to boo him so much.
Yes. Like, and he's so good when he gets booed. When people start booing him and he acts like, how dare you do this? That's an act that I want to see out of him.
It's like Yuma Aoyagi is my favorite wrestler, but I love to see him get beaten up. It's just, it's not weird. Please don't think it's weird, but if you know Yuma and you know how much of a pain he is, seeing him get beaten up, because he, it's the best.
Like, the reason why so many people love him is because he's great at antagonizing people. Mm. But in order for that to sustain itself, he has to get beaten up. Otherwise, it's just annoying. Something, when I went to Pro Wrestling Noah, they put over a new guy for their GHC heavyweight title. And they're kind of at the verge of doing that with this guy because he's a heel. Ozawa is his name.
Yeah.
But as a heel, he's kind of the annoying guy. And the crowd love him because he's a new act and he's something different. But to me, it's just too much of kind of, he hasn't had his comeuppance yet. You need the guy to have the shit beat out of him. Otherwise, he's too annoying. So with Yuma, they know that. And they don't make him too annoying to the point where he just gets away with everything. So yeah, I can understand that completely.
Tell me how it is in other companies. Do aces get booed a lot where, like, when they're facing the younger guys?
It depends on kind of the dynamic there and kind of how much people like the young guys, because a lot of the time, if the young guys have something good, right, they have something that you can latch onto, then the crowd will get behind them.
Yeah.
And the crowd, you know, the crowd are quite encouraging. Like, you know, the young lions in New Japan, they'll cheer them and they'll try to invest in them and they'll like to be along for the ride. But in the main, the ace is the incredible popular guy that people get behind no matter what. So I think Kento is good enough about playing the heel when he needs to, that he's fine with that.
Yeah.
I just don't think we'd see it as much in other companies quite so much, because that's what All Japan are doing to stick out right now. Mm. They're pushing their young guys and they're getting behind them to the point where even their rookies seem like and feel like they've got a place. I know they've signed two more rookies. I don't know who they are because they haven't told us.
Yeah, All Japan.
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Signed two guys out of the recent tryouts that they had. They haven't announced
make who that yet, public, so. Yeah.
There were two workers that were outside the ring that were on every show when I've seen them on All Japan TV. I don't know if it's those guys and then they'll introduce them to us later or if that's just two employees. But yeah, look, I expect that we'll hear about that at some point.
So. Yeah. One thing, like, Taishin did like a flip in the middle of the ring and Kento was outside. He was standing still. You can just, you know what the look on his face was going to be. It's going to be wide-eyed, open mouth, like, how dare you try to show me up? It's great. Taishin, I don't know. I just love this rookie. I'm so happy for him to get these opportunities.
There's another wrestler in Pro Wrestling Noah who's their rookie at the moment, right? So Taishin is in All Japan, wears green.
Mm.
This Noah rookie is in Noah and wrestles under red tights, right? So it's like almost like they swap colors. Yeah. My little dream match is I want to see those two have a match.
Mm.
Like, I want to see at some joint card somehow the two of them to have that. But again, that's like maybe my dream and no one else's type thing.
I think rookies are always fun to watch. Like, a couple of years ago, as my, like, what was it, like, breakout star or junior or something, were, like, all the rookies from every company.
Yep.
So, like, they have that, what, United Japan Federation thing. If they have a show this year and All Japan is actually included this time, why not have the rookies from each company in the opening match?
They've announced that has been incorporated. It's now operating as a not-for-profit, and they're going to be based out of New Japan's building. And
Yeah, of course.
when they took the photo of that event, though, so when they took the photo of the press conference, two people were there that were conspicuous by being there. One's the All Japan president, and the other was Ashino. So having
I
these
saw
guys
that.
at the press conference is an encouraging sign. Things have
Yeah.
ended, and clearly things are further along than before. And I don't know. I think New Japan's probably in the best place to actually have the office space to put this sort of stuff up. Because if
Yeah.
you've got someone with empty office space, I think we need all the space we can get over in All Japan.
I was surprised to see Ishino there actually, like as a side note to this to discussing wrestling. Yeah, because you think it'd be a Kento or maybe one of the Umas, but like why not Ishino? Hopefully
Someone
that's
who I think, yeah, deserves to be someone that they push a little bit more and have as the face of the company a little bit more,
and
because
hopefully that's a good sign.
yeah, us Ashino fans are taking whatever we can get at this point.
Ugh. Give him more, or get the Kento's business card. Give Ishino more. Hang up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just contact him, tell him, give me fuel, give me fire, give me Ashino as a Triple Crown champion this year, you son of a bitch. Click.
We need it. We don't want it. We need it. Okay. Day five. So the last day of the tour. Rei Saito and Sini Saito defeated Seki Yoshioka and Tashi Nagao in 9 minutes and 47 seconds. In the Girl TV title match, Yuko Miyamoto defeated Shota Ishino in 10 minutes and 38 seconds. Hideki Suzuki and Dan Tamra defeated Kengo Mashimo and Ayumu Honda in 9 minutes and 25 seconds. In the six-man tag team titles, Yuma Oyagi, Fumanori Abe, and Hikaru Sato defeated Aja Kong, Hokuto Omura, and Kuma Arashi in 13 minutes and 42 seconds. Rizin Hayato, Ren Yabe, Riki Honda defeated Kento Miyahara, Asuka Yagi, and Rii Inoue in 15 minutes and 12 seconds. In the junior heavyweight title match, Musashi defeated Naruki Doi in 16 minutes and 27 seconds. And in the Triple Crown title match, Jun Saito defeated Yuma Anzai in 28 minutes and 13 seconds. Just quickly, I just want to say, like, Aja Kong. Give the Hokuto Army to Aja Kong. That's so funny. Like, out of everybody. They get her in. I have no problem with it. Like, I saw her in TJPW and I loved it. It's just so random. Like, where this come from?
At the moment, the project I'm working on is I'm writing, co-writing, I should say, with Fumi Saito, a book about All Japan Pro Wrestling, well, All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling. So, completely separate company to AJPW, has its own history. I've just gotten through the point where I'm discussing her early days and the stuff that she's got coming up. And in the 90s, she was this incredible wrestler who was one of the best in the world at the time, regardless of gender, like one of the absolute best, and just someone who she can show up anywhere she wants to, as far as I'm
Yeah.
concerned. Like, who's going to tell her no, right?
I love that her teammates had the face paint. Yuma and his team had the hard hats on.
Yeah.
It's not the only time Yuma has come out with a hard hat, and it's weird that I know that, but it's happened before.
This is the information you just can't get from like Cage
Yeah.
Match or any other podcast,
Yuma hard hats. Where else are you going to hear it?
the humor hard hat count is at two at
Yeah.
the moment.
Okay, so the other matches. Musashi versus Doi. I thought it was pretty good. I think it would have been better in a different venue.
Yep.
A smaller venue so, the crowd cheers don't like disappear. Because this is huge, this venue. It's really, really big. They got over 1,000 people, so it's still pretty good, but you can fit so much more people in this. Like, it's massive.
And the acoustics are just not great. Like it almost felt like this was too important a card for this venue.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But I think it was time for Doi's reign to end. His first reign was really good. I really liked it. But his second reign is just not doing it for me. I'm glad it was Musashi. I'm glad it's not Asuki, because Asuki's back and people thought, okay, he's gonna go straight to the junior title scene. He's not but I'm hoping this isn't a transitional reign, though, because it could be. But he does have Hikaru Sato first, which I'm all for because I love Sato.
And it's also a thing where Sato always delivers in his matches, always has bouts no matter what. And he's someone who can lose credibly without coming across as losing, if that makes any sense whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm all for him being a gatekeeper and the first person people have to get past as far as their title reigns go. And, yeah, about time Musashi got this opportunity. I'm glad that, unfortunately, I love Doi, but
yeah,
he wasn't putting the effort in for this reign. It felt like perhaps this was one where, for one reason or another, he didn't have his heart in it.
Yeah. Look, I love him as Mrs. Saito. When he came out and be like, I'm the third Saito brother. You were there. You were on this podcast and we're talking about it. And we're just like, what the hell? But this is perfect. It fits.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't a great title reign.
Yeah. And, you know, it happens. And I mean, he's far from the first person to show up to have a title reign in the junior division that doesn't put in the requisite effort. We're talking about, and far from like the first good wrestler to do that as well. Like, we're talking about El Linderman earlier, and he had a title reign that was pretty forgetful. The infamous Tiger Mask reign didn't put in all that much effort. Although my son loved Tiger Mask during that time and loved watching his matches. So I was like, I think I'm the only one who's getting anything out of this at all. Certainly his opponents weren't. So yeah, look, definitely, think hopefully we can see better matches from here on out for Musashi as well. It's a good way to start, between the two of these guys.
Yeah. Like you were saying before, the junior title used to be really crap. Like Super Crazy had it at one stage.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
It's terrible. Like if you were like Tajiri's friend, you got the belt basically. So when Asuki won it from Tiger Mask, that was really the start of a new era for the belt, I guess. But it's been getting better and better. I'm glad Musashi has it. He's a really good wrestler. You know, he's well-respected by the company, obviously. So fingers crossed, it's not transitional. He just doesn't drop it to Asuki. So the main event was great. I thought the start was a bit clunky, but after the outside brawling, because they have to have outside brawling, it was really good. Like, you got to wash away how June's reign started. And I think Anzai was a perfect person for that, because Anzai and the Saitos, both of them, Ray and June, work really well together. And because they're part of the new generation that came out after Anzai won the belt, I think it's perfect. I wasn't a big fan of all the finisher kickouts. And just like maybe save some for later down the line, because, you know, Anzai kicked out of the Psycho Breaker, Ray kicked out of the Gimlet. I'm just like, I'm just not a big fan of kick out finisher, really. These two are stars. I think this really helped June start off his title reign really good. I don't really have much for this match. It's just really good after the first 5 minutes or so. What do you think?
So if anyone's following me on Twitter at the moment, and yes, I will call it Twitter until the day I die, it's not X, fuck that. But basically anyone that watched like that and followed along with the chat, I was there saying, I think this is too early for these two to be having this match. This is an important bout between two guys that are both in a key point in their career and who are both very, very young. A match like this deserves build, deserves attention, deserves a better arena than this one. I mean, I'm not against them using this arena. It's fine for like a champion carnival or a tournament match or something like that. For this, it felt too important to have this match. And yet then anyone that followed me though would see the about face and the shameless U-turn that I did partway through this when I was like, no, actually, this is awesome. They got me on board for this and I went, no, shit, fuck that. This is actually what you need to be booking right now. All Japan need to be having matches like this. I didn't mind the kickouts. That was part of that prior era of All Japan. I don't think that, for my money, I've always said that prior era, basically, there's more of that than people would think in the current product. And this was one instance. You had those kickouts out of the finishes. And it was done because I didn't think it was going to happen. As soon as he hit that gimlet, I thought it was over.
Yeah.
But I thought, but that makes no sense. And now he's kicked out. What the fuck? That one got me really, really well. So too did the Psycho Break kick out. Other people have kicked out of that one before. I think Kento has before as well. So I didn't mind that at all. As long as you don't have this happen in every single match and you retain some of your finishes as actual finishes, I don't think it's an issue. But again, that's just me and the expectations I bring as far as this goes. I love this match. I wasn't expecting that I would love it. I thought I'd merely like it and expect it was, again, booked oddly in terms of when you put this on and what arena and so on and so forth. But All Japan got me in the end for all of those complaints.
I think people thought both title matches, like the Junior and Triple Crown, like they were 50-50, they were split. But I think it was more on the good side. I really enjoyed them, actually. And the thing is, like, we didn't get any build, but I'm so used to not having build for title matches. Because remember Anzai's reign? They just ran through title match after title match. There was no build. It was like one show after the other. So I'm just like, okay, fine. Like, you got me used to All Japan. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too, is... Well, I feel as though there's a lot of people that have, and I'm not going to say these are invalid complaints by any stretch, but who have not loved sort of the way that they did that or the way that Anzai was booked and things of that nature. But to me, like, there are these things that people consider to be the established rules of pro wrestling that are, you know, you need to have long-term build to a title match for it to be good, or you need to have kind of... your rookies have to go through a lot before they get anything, and the old men tend to win Japanese contests and things like this. When you are breaking those rules, if you are being successful and if you as a company are selling tickets and are growing, then my take is those rules don't need to be slavishly followed. And yeah, like this, no, this title match did not have the build that we're expecting or that you would hope for, but it was so good in the end that I actually could forgive all that.
And they still have history. It's not like they don't have history either.
Definitely.
One thing I did love is June sharing his sweets with Anzai. Like, they're not, I don't know, would I say they're not friends? They respect each other.
Yeah.
And I guess it's special because they are part of the new generation, and they did have that moment with also Haito and Dan. It's like when Ray shared a beer with Anzai. It's these really cute moments that we only get because of the Saitos. So I'm so happy the Saito's here. Yuma Oyagi is at the challenge next. So Yuma after Yuma. What do you think?
Oh, again, it feels like it's too soon from a lot of the ways that you'd establish the rules for these. But it's clear that they want to get this reign over. It's clear that they want to have June pick up some big wins before he inevitably faces off against his brother.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see that's where we're going and that's the direction we're taking. But again, if it works and if it gets your fan base interested and if people are buying tickets to see it, then that doesn't make this wrong, or, you know, going against convention like this doesn't make it bad. I personally would have booked this as a big kind of arena match, something that you put, you know, in a much bigger place, or you put on as a much bigger show. But I do think that June is winning, and I think it's going to be huge when he does.
Yeah, I agree too. We have to check the schedule to see when they're going back to the Saito's hometown, because that's when they're going to have June versus Ray, definitely. And they're going to sell out like arena after arena, and they're going to have to move it like they've done before.
They had to do that before, and it worked very, very well.
Do you think he's going to hold it till after the Champion Carnival?
It's hard to predict, because if you told me a couple of months ago that he was going to win it, I would have thought he'd be a transitional champion just because he's relatively new to this. But look, it's clearly the hot act. They just released an album right now. So, they're crossover stars already. You know, they've got their YouTube channel. They've got a show, I believe they talk about travel and cooking on a show on, it might be Nippon TV. It might be NTV, right? So, that being the case, right, these are your crossover stars, and clearly they're going to put everything on them. So, it would make sense for him to hold the belt until late in the year and drop it at a big show. And then if it were up to me, he'd drop it to Kento, because Kento Miyahara hasn't been Triple Crown champion for too long.
Yeah.
And there's no shame ever losing to him. But we'll see. That my predictions will age like milk, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But might as well predict that he drops it right off the carnival, right? Like, drops it to whoever wins.
I think Ray's going to win. Will they drop it from one Sota to the other? They dropped it from one Yuma to the other.
I think June retains if...
Mm.
But yeah, it's anyone's guess at this point. Maybe he loses immediately after that. Maybe. And the other thing that this is, Ray hits really hard.
Mm.
Ray has no problem hitting June really hard as well, like in their matches against each other. So yeah, that would be great anyway.
It's, yeah, it's funny predicting where you're going to be and then like it takes like such a left turn.
Yep.
Who knows? Yeah, it's
a fool's game trying to predict this far
out. Yeah. But yeah, it was an enjoyable match. I would say, you know, it's good. If you want to watch a Triple Crown match, why not this one? Do you want to say anything else about day five?
I mean, an odd show in its way. I didn't really think it was, out of everything, out of all the shows on this particular tour, this one was my least favorite up until that main event, which just got me turned around completely. So yeah, even when you think that they're not going to deliver, they end up doing it. So that's the thing about this company.
I'm disappointed that Shino lost though.
Yeah.
When they made this match, like, oh, damn, he's finally winning his first singles championship. No.
That was an oddly sleepy match up until the last, I say the last quarter maybe or so. I thought these two would have better chemistry than they did. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's, you know, it's an early match on the card, so they probably can't go out there and just steal the show in your second or third match or whatever it was. But yeah, I definitely found this one didn't live up to my expectations for whatever reason, but the last stretch was really, really good. So yeah, outside of that result, I can't complain. I thought Ashino would be the ideal person to hold the Gara TV title.
Yeah.
Like, he could bring so much to that belt, but look, clearly they didn't see that, or clearly they hoped to have this reign go longer. Certainly they relied on the current champion, and sort of they needed Miyamoto at a key point when Suwama was out, so clearly this is an award for him.
Yeah, this is the thing. Would he be champion if Suwama didn't have vertigo and didn't miss the Royal Road? Would he be in this position? That's, yeah, you got me thinking, like, I don't know.
That's how a lot of this stuff works out. Like, some stuff just happens because of the circumstances, then they don't plan on it, but they have to roll with it. And in this case here, I think it's worked out quite well. I like Miyamoto a lot.
Mm. But like you said, like, you know, it's early on the card. They really can't go out and steal the show. Tachibana did that. He was in the first match for a lot of cards, and he stole the show.
Yeah, true that.
Like the match, him and Dan, if it's still on All Japan's YouTube page, because it was, go watch it. It was my junior match of the year.
Yep. And again, like that one just shows sort of too, like with Dan, just they have something there again, that someone else that could win or should win that belt.
Yeah, it makes me think of, like I said, back to when Anzai beat Nakajima for the belt and they had the Saitos, Hayato, and Dan. Saitos are champions. June's a bloody Triple Crown champion. Yeah. Anzai's Anzai. Hayato, he's, you know, so popular and with the team with Anzai. And then Dan, like, what's he doing now? Nothing.
Treading water.
Yeah. He could team up with, like, Hideki Suzuki. They kind of wrestle the same. Like, his team with Ishino was good and they got like one win.
I'd buy that. I'd love to see him and Hideki together. Like, that, sign me up for that. I think, like, you have two wrestlers there that are at different points in their career who are both very, very good.
Yeah. And
yeah, I think, like, have enough fan base behind them. I wouldn't be against that at all.
Like, even if they put Ishino with that team, that would work. I love Yuma and his team, but give them the six-man belts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hideki, Dan, Ishino, why not?
Because, again, these are guys that just don't have anything else that they've given them at the moment.
And yeah,
as much as I think everyone loves Yuma, does he need the six-mans at this point?
Oh, we should say Yuko Miyamoto is facing Kurisho Tokyo Japan for some reason next after this. I don't know. He hasn't been on the card. Like, last time we saw him was the 31st. Why?
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed when, you know, we saw the result for this match. And then as soon as that happened, as soon as he then called out Jiro, let's just call him Jiro.
Yeah.
I went, why? Like, I thought we had this guy out of All Japan. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like, well, if I don't like someone, they shouldn't be booked. Mm. But I wasn't complaining. I'll put it this way. I wasn't complaining that he wasn't getting any more bookings with All Japan.
And yeah.
Now it looks like that won't be the case. And that was disappointing.
Like, the thing is, if he sticks around for the odd tag every now and then, that's fine. But why is he getting a title match? Especially since, like, he's starting his own company. Like, ugh. Give it to Aja Kong.
Well, why not, right? Like, I wasn't, like, expecting that to be a great match or anything when she was there in that six-man, because these are, you know, these are comedic six-man tag title matches. But after a certain point, like, you know, they go to suplex her and she suplexes both of them.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this is a great match. This one caught me. So, I mean, I don't mind Miyamoto as champion. I really hope Jiro doesn't get the belt, and because I've said that, he'll get it.
Yeah. I'm just looking at, like, the roster, like, who else could challenge Ayabe, Honda,
Ayabe Inoue? Would be great. Honda, like, these are all great.
Yeah.
Great options. Mm. Inoue would be a perfect Gaara TV champ.
I can even see him, like, cheating to win, like, doing a low blow and winning to get the belt that way because he's such an arsehole.
He'd do a low blow and then he'd kick the guy in the head.
Yeah.
And we'd all forget the low blow because of the kick to the head.
Mm.
And we'd all go, no, I didn't see anything.
This is why we needed Kento's business card to tell him our ideas.
Just because that's crazy that they're giving that out, though. I suspect, you probably get an email that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Some middle person that just deletes everything.
Yeah. It'd probably be like just the All Japan website.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move on to some notes now. Champion Carnival participants will be announced on the 9th of February. So most likely they'll be announced when this episode goes out. But do you have any outsider picks?
I was hoping for Mike D, but apparently he'll be in America for WrestleMania week. So therefore, probably not him. I would really hope and love it if they brought Lord Crew back. After meeting him during the last year's carnival, I thought he did really well, and they haven't booked him very much at all since. And that was odd, I thought. But I don't think he will be, unfortunately. I just think I think they've kind of booked other people since. So, yeah, that would have been someone I would like to see. I don't think we'll see him back there as much as I would want it. Oh, I think, like, we're definitely getting Cyrus back. Like, Cyrus did say
he's
champion coming back. Carnival. So that'll be great. Outside of that, I am hoping Naoya Nomura will be back. We didn't get to have him a couple of years back, and unfortunately, he's not been back. He has been back for the Giant Baba Memorial Show, but that's an outside event. That's not an All Japan.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation there because it's not an All Japan event, but they had the All Japan vice president, I believe it was. They had certainly a few people there, including Fuchi Tony Kea. Was that, sorry?
Fuchi was there.
Yeah, Fuchi. They had Fuchi there, right?
And Wada, if that counts, because Wada's everywhere, though.
Yeah. Yeah, including doing some refereeing now for Marigold, right?
Yeah.
The Joshi Pure Rescue Company. So, yeah, it's funny seeing him show up, but they had Taya Kea's last match as well. Mm. That was someone I interviewed years back. So, he won't be in a champion carnival. He's retired, but... So that wasn't an All Japan show. So Naoya Nomura hasn't officially come back to All Japan or done any matches for them. I'm thinking he will for the carnival. That's what I'm hoping anyway. But who you got? Who do you think will be the outsiders for this one?
I'm always on my Naoya Nomura coming back train and disappointing when he never comes back. the other Nomura, Takuya Nomura, going to be on the February cards.
Yep.
He and Abe are facing Anzai and Hayato for the all-age tag team belts, and that's going to be great. Fantastic. Yeah. So he's been in the company before. You know, he had that tag team with Kento. So why not both Nomuras?
Great. And put them in, I don't know, would you put them in separate blocks or would you put them in the same block so you could have Nomura versus Nomura?
You got to put them in the same block just for that because it's funny.
Or do you have them in separate blocks so each block can have a Nomura?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because, no, I was thinking yes, but then I was thinking, which Yuma would I pair? Because would I want another Yumao Yagi versus Naoya Nomura, I want him to get his ass handed to him by Takumi Nomura.
And then we can, on the same night, you could have two matches featuring Yuma versus Nomura.
That's going to be so hard to review.
I know people do, and this is one thing I definitely agree with Lewis on is that when we talk about just Yuma, that's reserved for Yuma Aoyagi because he was there first. That's fair. We can just call the other guy Ansai, and there's no problem.
That's how I do it. It was really confusing for the Yuma Anzai versus Yuma Aoyagi triple crown match.
Oh yes, yep.
Someone else I have is Lord Crew, like you said. I think he said on Twitter a while ago he was actually learning Japanese. And I saw a tweet a couple of days from him saying like he misses Japan. So I don't know if that's like a
Yes.
hint. But Sekimoto, he's doing
Yes.
shows for the company, so why
Fuck
not bring him
yes.
back for the carnival?
He would be perfect. And he's won the carnival before as well. He was the winner in 2018. So he'd be ideal to place in. You can put him in like a block final or something like that, where you give him lots of big wins and have him just fall short just before the final or something like that. And he'll give you great matches the whole time.
And because Suwama's out, he's not going to be in the carnival. So that's a big spot someone has to fill. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting because it's only in a couple of days we're going to find out. I
It's
just.
crazy, right? Like I'm a bit like it took him a long time. In 2002, I remember it was that we had the very drawn out sort of process of them finalizing and announcing that carnival in the lineup. I remember that feeling very, very long, and it was a few weeks before that they finalized and announced. Yeah, this is very, very early. So clearly, is that a sign that they've got someone big? Is that a sign that they've managed to work this all out early? It seems like they're being quite ambitious with this.
I don't know. Yeah, because I thought it was a bit early, because like you said, there've been years where they've announced it like, a couple of weeks before. But I just hope they don't put X's in. I
It feels like
hate.
such a cop out to say, here's our big unveiling, someone you don't know.
Yeah, just stop doing that, old Japan. And the best bit of news, in a surprise no one really saw coming, June and Ray have announced the release of their debut album. Old Japan was teasing something for the Saitos. And it's funny because if we recorded on our original date, we would have missed this. But because we had to move the date back, we can talk about it. They have released a single and a music video is on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, like please go see it. It's actually really, really good. And the song got stuck in my head a bit. So if you think two big, burly wrestlers aren't gonna sing good, nah, you're wrong. It's really good.
This is part of a longer running tradition in Japan, like definitely like the likes of Jumbo Tsuruta, Terry Funk, and Hulk Hogan when he was in Japan. They all had like album releases back in the days of like vinyl. And just mentioning this off air, I think maybe what happened was the president has become confused again and thinks that he's promoting All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling because this is what they used to do. They had all their big stars release albums. So, yeah, look, this is great though to see them become the stars that they are and to cross over in this way. And again, just an extra thing that you can throw on these guys this year.
The wrestler I thought of when I read that the Saitos have an album coming out was like Macho Man's album. That
Bigger
terrible.
Man. He got inspired to do that when he saw 8 Mile. Like he saw the Eminem
Oh,
movie and just
really?
went, yep, I can do that.
I
Rest in
haven't
peace,
listened to it.
Macho
I've
Man.
listened to one song, not the rest of the album though, because I heard it's terrible.
Look, he's a great, great wrestler. He's an all-timer. People should watch his match with Genichiro Tenryu from the show, the Wrestling Summit that they did in Tokyo Dome. And as for his album, people should watch his match with Tenryu from the Wrestling Summit. Like.
What do you mean, Spider-Man?
Yeah,
Tobey
exactly. Like,
Maguire movies.
yeah, that's him in another classic role there. Just stay away from the album, you know. It just not all of his ideas panned out. You know what happens?
But no, don't stay away from the Saito's album, though. Anyway, who was your wrestler of the month?
It's really hard because there's so many guys that really showed out during January. I think because he had the experience of being bloodied and knocked out and finished the match and it was fucking sick. and his Triple Crown challenge was great. I'm going to go with Yuma Anzai. In general, if you ask me who my wrestler of the month is, most of the time it's Yuma Anzai. He's so good.
Yeah, I agree. You literally have the same. Like, you know, he had high profile matches. His match with Shino was like chef's kiss. You know, he had a Triple Crown match. He's still all Asia tag champs with Hayato. It can't really be anybody else.
I would say if I had a second pick, it would be the guy that was trying to kick his head off in on the that show on the 31st. Mm. As far as In A Way goes, he's had a great month.
Match of the month, I went with Anzai versus Ishino, very closely followed by the Saitos versus Hideki and Sakimoto. It was just, I loved it.
Yeah, Anzai versus Ishino is my pick as well. Though my second, if I had a runner-up to that, it would be the Triple Crown title match. Again, just go out of your way to watch both of those matches. Yeah, it's been a great month as far as match quality goes. Like, very strong start for the year.
Yeah, I think if you include the 31st show, maybe not the main event, all matches, like title matches, have been really, really good.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, that main event match just will be forgotten. I think people remember it as the match where the title changed hands and the match where the Saito brothers got a hold of the Triple Crown. But as far as that kind of goes, it's quite forgetful. Forgettable, I mean. So, yeah, I definitely think that one won't be mentioned a year from now, you know, and whereas I do reckon we'll still be talking about some of those matches with Anzai.
For a start of the year, it's 100% better than last year, let me tell you that.
Yeah,
I think they got a clear road ahead, clear plan, what they want. You know, looking at the champions, it's a good bunch of champions, I reckon.
Well, yeah, and I mean, clearly there are other ways they can go in their directions from here that they'll be able to pick. And a lot of these directions, they have options, is what I would say there. You know, they have more than one direction they can take from here that would work.
Yeah. And, you know, we're seeing, like, the rise of Tashin and Inoue, which is always great. You know, the young guys are still going strong. Alpida, still great. Kento is always leading the way. Yeah. He'll always lead the way. Musashi, he rose up. He's vice president. Yeah, I think I am happy how it started, and I just hope it keeps up this momentum, and I think it has a good chance of keeping it up for the rest of the year.
We didn't even have anyone leave in January. Like, there wasn't anyone that quit.
That is right.
No one's contract expired, and they had them walk out. We lost five people same time last year, so I think that speaks volumes for how quickly they turned that around.
Yeah. And we got Hideki. We got two rookies, you know, we haven't seen. We don't know if they're real, but apparently they are. It's looking good. That's all I want to say. It's looking good. So we've reached the end of the first episode of Jumping Knee Pod for 2025. Thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can find me on Twitter at SisterJessieAuroro72. And also Sister Jessie on Blue Sky and Jumping Knee Pod on Instagram as well. I'll finally be updating it.
You can find me at Jonathan Foy, all one word, on both Twitter and Blue Sky. And again, like we said with Blue Sky, I'm finally getting around to updating that a little bit more often as well. So I'm thinking I'll be on there a lot more than Twitter. I definitely feel happier on there is how much I would say.
What about your books? Tell people about your books.
Oh, I always forget to plug them. So at the moment, you can find Ganbaru and The Muto Years, my books about All Japan Pro Wrestling, available on Amazon. And outside of that, just really look forward to the day where I can say more about the other books that are still in pre-production.
Yes, we'll always links to Amazon where you can find your book and stuff. And when your new book comes out, come and promote it.
Oh, I'll be here. This will be the first show I go on. Actually have something to promote there, but I'm not good at being patient about waiting, so
yeah, but just look out for it. Jonathan has fantastic books out. He's always a fantastic guest. I finally got to meet him all the way in Japan, even though we live in the same country.
Thank you, that was great. We're in different states, so it's kind of like, I don't know, it's hard to describe for guests outside of Australia, but no, we don't all sort of live in the same small place and all know each other.
No. But thank you all once again. Thank you, Jonathan, for jumping on the first episode of 2025. I've been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Count Out Network.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.